I tell you, this guy must be sick of talking about pre-ranks. Today, joined by Dan Titus from Yahoo, the pre-ranks are out. We're going to talk about a few notable players and potentially where to find them, because I'm a bit of a noob. I was finding a whole series of other numbers and ranks, so we'll talk about where to find the pre-ranks. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am your host, Adam King, at Adam King on 91 on Twitter, at Dan Titus on Twitter is where you will find my guest talking about Yahoo pre-ranks again. It's sort of the hot topic. I mean, we've got nothing else to talk about at the moment. So nice of Yahoo to release some content for us. Always stirs up a bit of discussion, these pre-ranks. And yeah, look, thanks for jumping on. We had to shuffle the times a bit, but we got there in the end.
Yeah, I mean, always good to talk fantasy hoops no matter what time of year it is. And if I can help you guys debate the where certain people should be going or how some people are just completely omitted off of the pre-ranks list, happy to do it. Yeah, we got a lot of mock drafts to come through. We just got done doing one with Josh Lloyd yesterday that I think was pretty good. I loved your draft. Hated mine, mainly because of my draft spot. We can talk about that later. Yeah, man, a lot of stuff coming out for Yahoo. The mock draft room will open on August 22nd, next Thursday. So I'll be drafting a lot. I'm sure you'll be drafting a lot, informing a lot of these ADP and ranking decisions over the next couple months.
Yeah, now, as I said, finding these player ranks for me was, and again, this is probably more to do with me than anything else, but I was going in through one way and I was finding some ranks which weren't correct. And so you pointed me in the right direction. So for anyone just curious, and as you said, this is the first run, and so there are players that are out of whack, that sort of thing, that will adjust obviously over the next few weeks. But for anyone looking for these ranks, what's, I guess, a very, very basic tutorial on how to find the player ranks?
Yeah, and so I hope eventually we'll have this functionality on mobile so that's a little bit easier and readily accessible for those on the go. But if you're on desktop, I suggest that when you open up your fantasy basketball portal, because it should be open, you'll likely see the leagues that you've been attached to. If not, it doesn't matter. If you just go to the draft tab, and then go down to draft analysis, that should be the most updated pre-draft ranks. Now, when I talked to Kingy before, he went through a pretty similar process. And like the smart guy that he is, he went to the draft portal, saw pre-draft rankings, and clicked that. And for whatever reason, and I have to do some fact-finding on my side of the portal, but not really sure why a different set of pre-draft rankings would appear there. I don't know if that's league specific, that was taken from a specific time last year or sometime in the offseason, but I don't know how that would be possible since these pre-draft rankings literally just got released over the last week. So got to do some digging there, but I think it's a great point that you brought up, King, in your investigation of like how Yahoo can better communicate where to find pre-draft rankings. They did a good job now of at least laying out the timeline of all the things you need to know about fantasy basketball and when it's starting and so forth, and we can get into some of that too. But yeah, I think that there is some opportunity to improve where to tell people to go to navigate if they want to find something this early in the season.
Yeah, and I mean, if you are having issues, like you can hit me up now, but hit Dan Bespris up. He's got a spreadsheet going where he's tracking all of the ranks himself. So there's plenty of us who can point you in the right direction if you do need some guidance. I mean, we'll start with the ranks, I suppose, and a few players that I saw on there that were, well, I'm just curious to have a chat about them and see whether you think they'll move up or down, or and then we could quickly touch on that draft that we did yesterday with Josh. It was a pretty smooth draft, all things considered. Often there's one or two people that don't turn up or are late, but I think I think we were all there, and it went relatively smoothly, except for my last pick. But we'll talk about our teams. I mean, if we start at the top of these ranks, and I know you and Dan sort of spoke about this yesterday, I think we've got a consensus top four. So we've got Wemby and Jokic 1 and 2, Luka and Shea 3 and 4. So either any order, I know Dan is very high on Jokic at number one. I would take Wemby at number one. I mean, it depends on the format, that sort of thing. But beyond that, it sort of gets a bit messy in terms of who do I take, who do I let drop. I actually don't mind pick five this year, because I think for me, of that next bunch, and I'm looking at the numbers, the ranks here, and you've got Giannis, Halliburton, Anthony Davis, Tatum, Embiid, Trae Young, and then Durant, Donovan Mitchell, Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards. Like, there's a whole range of guys there. I think you can make a case for them. I think most people are probably going to have a preference. So they'll have, for whatever reason. So for me, if I'm picking at five, I'm probably going Halliburton or Anthony Davis. They're the two that I like there. But someone else would love Embiid. Someone else is going to love Trae Young for whatever reason. Someone will like Giannis. So I actually don't mind picking at five, because you get your pick there. It's, no one is sort of impacting who you take. But beyond that, I really think I want to be picking on the turn, 11 or 12, because then you've basically just got whoever is left, who's remaining. And I had picked 11 in that draft that we did yesterday, so that was a good exercise in seeing whether that worked. But I guess, have you got – so if you had like pick six, for example, would you have a preference there, or is it going to be determined on league settings and who you're drafting with and that sort of thing?
Definitely matters for league settings. I think right now I have Halliburton at six. In the last mock draft that we just did, I think I had the sixth pick. Maybe I had the seventh pick. And I took Giannis, and that's who I have right before Halliburton. So if I'm going off of value, I was getting him a couple picks after I had him mock, or where I had him ranked. Now, that being said, like, I'm not enthusiastic about picks 5 through 9. Like, to your point, I think I'd be way more comfortable taking picks 10 through 12, because that crop of players to me is like where I really want to build my roster. There's a lot of question marks, and I talked about it with Dan Besbris yesterday. Like, Jason Tatum is a really good basketball player for fantasy, because you're reliant, like, he plays 70 games, like, that's almost guaranteed at this point. But he doesn't offer you too much upside in any category specifically. Like, he's just a very solid player. He didn't finish in the top 12 last year. He barely was in the top 20. So why are we still paying that price in the first round? And it's really, you're doing it off the strength of his ability to stay healthy. If that's the case, then if you're banking on people being healthy, why would you not go for the upside of Anthony Davis? Why would you not go for the upside of Joel Embiid? These guys are perennial top 5 per game players. Yeah. And so the issue is the health risk. And I think, if I could do my draft over, I probably would have taken Tyrese Halliburton, who I feel like his production was suffered a little bit by his health last year, but also the emergence of Pascal Siakam kind of going there, that did kind of eat into his usage a bit. But I'm still not – Halliburton to me is still a 20 and 10 guy, and that's what I want in the first round there. But, like, if I had the choice, like, in all things considered, all things are equal, you can turn injuries off, I think I would go back and just take the risk on Joel Embiid. I think the Olympics to me wasn't a good showing for him in terms of his health and conditioning. I'm hoping that he gains some maturity playing with those other superstars, like, knowing that he can only sacrifice his game and doesn't have to do the 33% usage thing and just shoot and play recklessly all the time. Like, if he plays smarter and we can get 60 plus games out of Joel Embiid, like, he'll be well worth picking him in the middle of the first round. I just don't know how I can trust it. That's why I chose Giannis, because I'm like, all right, well, Giannis, yeah, he gets nicked up, but I think I can trust Giannis to play more games than Joel Embiid, and this is a guy that can get 30 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists with a steal. Like, I'm okay with that. I'll punt free throws. I'll figure it out later. Giannis is a safe pick for me, but I think me having him ranked at number 5 right now is more so something that we probably should talk about. What do these pre-draft rankings mean right now? It's a blend of points and category ranks. Giannis would never be five on a category rank for me. But because we got to cater to, you know, the default setting, which is points for Yahoo, and yep. most people play on categories, you got to kind of meet in the middle there. So not ideal. In the best case, ideal scenario, I would have, you know, the product, depending on which league format you're in. If you're playing in a points league, you get my points rankings. If you're playing in a categories league, you get the category rankings and so forth. So not a one size fits all, but we do the best we can for the constraints that we have to deal with.
Yeah, and I've sort of like people sort of the whole Embiid thing is a whole it's another discussion. Like we can you could do a whole pod on where are we drafting Joel Embiid, but he seems to be sort of grouped in that very small category of injury prone players. Both he and Anthony Davis are probably the two. Kawhi Leonard is the other one.
Yep.
But for me, of the three of those guys, Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid, Kawhi Leonard, I quite easily prefer Anthony Davis. And that's me personally. And reason being is that his injuries aren't the same injury every time. Like he just gets random injuries. He was very healthy last year. Prior to that, he misses games for all sorts of things. Whereas for me, Embiid and Kawhi, it's the same injury. It's right. always the knees, the same knee. That's why I tend to prefer Anthony Davis, because I worry that both Kawhi and Embiid physically, even if they're 100% healthy, what can't play more than sort of 55 games just because of the wear and tear on one particular body part. Maybe that's just a me thing. And that's why I think having this discussion around, do you have a preference at pick six or something like that? So if you actually get pick five or six, you get your choice. But for those that don't have a preference, picking at 11 or 12 is much better because your choice is sort of made for you by who goes earlier. So I know you sort of touched on this yesterday when you were on the show with Dan talking about Trae Young. So I'm actually pretty high on him this year, and that could be because I have him in a keeper league. So I really just want him to play well. But
yeah.
I in that draft that we were in, I picked at 11 and I took Trae Young, and then I paired him with Domantas Sabonis. And Sabonis is someone that I don't think I've ever rostered him, but I'm getting him in a few mocks this year. And I like the idea of pairing potentially the league leader in assists, and Trae Young could be that guy. I think him or Halliburton or potentially James Harden could sort of throw his hat in the ring there. And the league leader in rebounds. So you've got the best rebounder, best passer straight off the top. Trae Young is someone you sort of indicated that he's growing on you, I suppose. What do you think for him this year? Could he be a first rounder, or are we drafting him here based on health and assuming he'll play upwards of 70 games?
I'm pretty high on Trae Young. I have him 11th in my pre-rank. I don't think I'm going to shuffle him too much. I mean, at worst, I think I'll have him as like 13 or 14. But I think he is in consideration as a back end first round pick, mainly because of what you said, it's the assist upside. There's not many people in this game right now that can average 20 and 10. It's Tyrese Halliburton and it's Trae Young. I don't think James Harden's going to be the prolific scorer that he once was. His scoring average has gone down each of the last like six years. And so given that DeJounte Murray's out of there, I think you're going to look at a Trae Young with a 30% usage rate. There's not really much talent around him to share the ball with outside of Jalen Johnson. You know, Clint Capella and Onyeka Okongwu like has yet to really come on. Rishi Shea, we don't know what he's really going to look like. Dyson Daniels isn't a score first guard. So I just think this offense is going to be so reliant on Trae Young. Like he's going to pay it back in terms of like the value that he's going to provide. The field goal percentage, yeah, that could be a struggle. But you can also balance that out. You have 13 other draft picks to kind of build your team around a 20 and 10 guy that can also probably see a little boost in assists or in steals. His free throw percentage is solid. He hits threes. He covers most of the bases for a first round pick for me. So I don't understand why people are so down on him. It's probably the field goal percentage that people aren't interested in, but Fred VanVleet went round two, I think last night in our draft. So I'm like, is there really that much difference? Like, I'd rather take Trey's upside, who's probably an all-star contention. Fred VanVleet's on the downswing of his career. like, there's other guards that I would be, I don't know, like Kyrie Irving. Would you rather have Kyrie Irving or would you rather have Trae Young? I'd rather have Trae Young. Like, he just does more for fantasy. Stephen Curry is another person that's like tinkering on that back end list where I'd like, I just don't see where the assist upside is with Stephen Curry now in the current landscape. So back end of the first round, you're not going to get as many assists outside of like maybe LaMelo Ball potentially if he can stay healthy. Still not. It's going to be tough. Cade Cunningham maybe, but like that's going to be tough. So, and I think you drafted him, what, Cade in the third round in the draft yesterday? That was a
yes, I think I did. Yeah, I did.
I love that build. If you can get that, like you're locking. I love that combination of like, because Trae Young doesn't really, his health is fine. Like he had, to your point, like he had like a wrist injury or something, like ankle sprains. Like they're nothing degenerative. There's just way too much upside with Trae Young. So I'm on team Trae Young. We'll ride it. We'll ride it out together. If people want to hate, like, hey, we're Trae Young guys this year, man. I'm with it.
So, yes, I did take Cade. And yeah, I liked my build in the draft yesterday. I'm probably – I had a bit of a – in mind, my build was probably let's try and punt. Because I took Sabonis and Trae Young early, I thought, okay, let's maybe punt blocks and steals. Let's punt those defensive stats and just focus on points, threes, assists, rebounds, and be generally pretty good in percentages. And I didn't mind my build. But anyway, we'll get back to that shortly. So you touched on a player that I did want to discuss, and that's LaMelo Ball. He went in the middle of the second round yesterday, which is the highest I've seen him go. Went to Alex Berutha, I think. Yep, Alex Berutha took him with the sixth pick of the second round. I've been getting LaMelo wherever I can in the third round, if possible, but I think he's starting to creep up. And if anyone who follows the NBA or follows Charlotte, they would have seen photos and vision of him wearing ankle braces, which he has come out and said he didn't want to do. And I get it because they're not comfortable. But if he wants to stay healthy, I think he needs to at least wear them for a period of time. Whether he wears them for the whole season, I don't know. But where are you on LaMelo this year? Because I'm sort of right on the LaMelo train. Like I've been there, despite the fact that he keeps getting injured, I just keep drafting him. And he's one of one. Like he's very unique the way he plays. Is this a year? Like can he stay healthy? Can the Hornets be competitive, or are we just headed for another season where the Hornets bottom out and basically rest half their team for the back end of the season?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty optimistic about the Hornets this year. Like I think they did all the right things in terms of their drafting over the last couple of years, the assets that they've acquired. They're going to have a really good opportunity to win more ball games than they have in recent years. I mean, we're just like, 2 years removed from LaMelo Ball being an all-star. He just keeps on getting these nagging ankle injuries. And the fact that he's wearing ankle braces now, that gives me enough confidence that, hey, at least this guy's taking this seriously now. I know there's been a lot of off-the-court stuff of him with his Lambos and his choices of doing things. Like, he's not really committed. He's a young kid. Like, if I had the money he had, I would also be probably buying Lambos. But I think that this is probably man, it's going to be so hard for his ADP not to just go bonkers by the time we're drafting, for real. I had him 29th in my pre-draft rankings, and that was before the news of the ankle brace, so that was like third round. I think the middle of the second is totally fair, and I wouldn't be surprised if someone tried to take him a little bit earlier than that, but I think that that's the right spot where Alex got him. There's just far too much upside with him on an actual competent team with Miles Bridges, Brandon Miller, Mark Williams, if he's healthy. This assist potential, the steal potential, he can still get 20 a game. He shot almost 40% from three in the games that he played last year. He's going to be a star in the making, and if he can stay healthy, like he's going to be one of the. You're going to be very happy that you drafted him in the middle of the second when last year he was a first round pick, right? So I think that's what I'm still on the page on of like if he's healthy, he's a first round value to me.
Yeah, and I do think, as you said, yes, he is 29 currently, and I think, I mean, if you could get him there, I'd absolutely jump on it. But he's going to – look, depending on hype and what we see and video footage and training camp and that sort of thing, I fear that he could push into that back end of the first round range. So the range we were sort of talking about with Trae Young, Steph Curry, Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell, I suppose those guys, LaMelo could push into that group of players, which means you're probably going to have to take him sort of 14, 15 potentially. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I still think he's okay, but it would probably mean that. So if you say where Alex got him there, the sixth pick of the eighth round, he took Halliburton in the first round, and I know Halliburton
love
had those injuries and stuff, but you probably wouldn't want to take Embiid or Anthony Davis, these guys that are injury prone, and then take LaMelo,
right?
Because there's a fear there that your top two players only play 40 games, and you're not going to win a league that way. So the next guy I wanted to talk about, who now, as I said, the numbers I sent you were completely wrong, but this one was actually pretty close, and that's Jalen Duren. So he's at 50 in the pre-ranks. In the draft yesterday, he went. I wanted to get him.
I think I drafted him.
Yeah, where are we?
I want to say maybe 50.
Yeah, that's probably around 50. Yeah, so you took him with the sixth pick of the fifth round, so 53 or something. Mm-hmm. 52, 54, I don't know. I was hoping he was going to get back to me with the 11th pick, but he didn't. And the guy I want to talk about is actually who I took. But Jalen Duren, talking to a few analysts, I'm relatively high on him this season. Others aren't as high, although in saying that, Noah Rubin wasn't high on him, and then he stole him in the draft from me. probably just to annoy me. But
playing coy. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, I hate that guy. And then,
yeah, I hate Noah Rubin. Why would you have him on your show? What do you think for Duren this year? Because I like what the Pistons have done. I think if this transitioned into a Pistons discussion, I actually think they haven't made any bad moves. And I think that's what they usually do. They draft weirdly. They sign weirdly. But I think they've actually done some good things this offseason. So they shouldn't regress. They should be looking to move forward now. And Duren is obviously a really big part of that. So what do you see sort of on the horizon for him this season?
It's only up. The reason I have him aggressively ranked in the top 50 is because I think he's going to make improvements to his game that could push him there. Like, if you look at the first two seasons, he increased his points per game by almost 5. The rebounds are almost close to 12 per game. Paul George, I believe, called him Baby Dwight Howard 2 years ago. And I've been saying that ever since then, man. This dude, the broad shoulders, like the IQ, the knack for hitting the glass, like there's so many areas where he could just take a subtle jump that would make him a top 50 player. If he can get to 16 points per game, keeps the rebounds the same, averages over a block a game, his free throw percentage actually 79% last year. Mm. Like this guy can shoot. And I love what he did in the offseason. He played on the USA select team. He looked like he was dominating many of the pros that we were just talking about that are first round values. And I think that there's actually some underrated assist potential. He was up to almost 2.5 assists per game last year with a better, more competent team that could definitely get up to, you know, maybe 2.7, maybe 3 in some cases. I don't see why people aren't higher on him. He's only 21. He's turning 21 this year.
Mm.
Maybe I'm missing something, but this kid's going to be so good. And, you know, where Alperen Şengün is going, you know, hype train, third round, fourth round, I'll gladly take Duren in the fifth, skipping over a lot of these like Miles Turners, Brook Lopez, Rudy Gobert. I would much rather have Jalen Duren than all of those guys.
Yeah, I think I had this discussion. It might have been with Noah. It was with someone around looking at centers that are going off the board in that range and who would you rather. And for me, it was Duren over most of them. The only one I sort of considered, I thought maybe I'd have Nick Claxton over him just because I think he's going to have a ton of run this season and Brooklyn mm-hmm. are going to be really bad. But mm-hmm. as you said, Duren has the free throw aspect. So he doesn't kill you in your free throws. for me, it comes down to defensive stuff. Like, I think his offense will just continue to get better. He's a very good rebounder. As you said, he's 20. So he's younger than some rookies that are that are playing this season. So for me, it's really those defensive stats. If he can get, so he was at 0.8 blocks last year, 0.9 in his rookie season. So he needs to be better. But I feel like as he figures the game out and gets a better support crew around him, which he's starting to get, if he can get it up to 1.2 or 1.3, so we're not sort of saying you need to be a two blocks per game guy, but if he can get to 1.2, 1.3, then, yeah, I think he was 77th last year, so that alone would vault him into that top 50 discussion. And, I really like him. And I think Tobias Harris is going to bring a lot to this team just in terms of a calm veteran player on the court who can manage the game, because they're very young, team. I think it's good things in Detroit, which it's good to see, because they haven't been good for a long time.
You just brought up Tobias Harris. What did you think of where Lloyd got Tobias Harris yesterday? Because I didn't talk too much in the chat, but I was like, when he did it, I was like, wow, that's confidence. And Tobias Harris has been one of the most slept on, underrated fantasy players for years. And so I feel like he probably didn't need to do it where he did, but maybe just fit the build and he just felt like necessary to do it. But I thought it was a bit early for Tobias, probably by like two rounds, to be honest. But who knows? Maybe people are souring less on Tobias as like a second option in Detroit versus being third option in Philly.
Yeah, look, I think so. He took him at 51, third pick of the fifth round, and I think that's probably his ceiling. You're probably drafting him at his ceiling, and which I guess this is probably more of a discussion around the past or the, I guess, where Tobias has been going previously. And usually people just think, he's boring and he slips and you get sort of two rounds of value. He went at 51, DeAndre Ayton went before him, Gobert went before him, Wagner went after him. All of these guys are probably being drafted at their ceiling as well. So it's like, I think Gobert, top 50, sure. Ayton, top 50, sure. Franz Wagner, can he be anything better than top 50? Maybe. So it's the same thing for Tobias. We're just so used to getting him in the 80s or the 90s.
Right.
So I think it's just higher than where he's been going in the past. But I do wonder if Josh just took him so that Dan Bespris, potentially.
I don't know that Tobias is ever going to be a guy that's going to warrant a fifth round pick in any draft that anyone's doing. Like, I just don't think that, like, the where he is in his career, the marketability around him, there's just no, like, a lot of this offseason conversation is about aura. There's no aura around him that would anyone would be like, oh snap, I got Tobias in the fifth. Like, I'm winning my draft. Like, he's just always going to be that guy that's going to fall. Like, and maybe Josh is trying to change that narrative, which I applaud him for, but I don't know. I think he might be on an island on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, for me, it was too high. Like, I wouldn't take him. You've got him at 81 in the pre-ranks. So that's, and that's probably about right. Like,
I'm probably disrespecting him to some degree. He could probably finish top 60 if the peripheral stayed the same. He sees a little jump in the points. Rebounding is always around, you know, 6-7 a game. I'm probably undervaluing to a T, but like, it's just a matter of like the names that you mentioned that went around him in that fifth round. Like, I would much prefer like a Franz Wagner upside than a Tobias Harris high floor type of thing.
So the next guy was, as I alluded to, who I took with my pick because I couldn't get Jalen Duren because you took him, was Emmanuel Quickley.
You got me back because I wanted Emmanuel quickly on the turn there.
I think a few people actually wanted him because I remember when I drafted him, there were a few comments in the chat. So you've got him at 54. I took him at the back end of the fifth. So what's that, 59? I'm getting quickly wherever I can this year if he's falling this far, because I think he's potentially got top 30, I want to say, top 30 upside. I think that's probably best case, but I think he's comfortably top 50 if he can play the way he was playing last year. He's just, I think he's in a perfect situation in terms of opportunity and the team. Because, I mean, he's got some flaws in his game, and Tom Thibodeau obviously wouldn't play him in certain situations because of those. But Toronto don't care. Well, they shouldn't care because they're not going to be challenging for a title or anything like that. So, yeah, I love Quickly there, and I'm assuming you do as well.
Yeah, I just like what I saw with the new build Toronto squad. I think we're going to have four legitimate fantasy viable options there. Mainly Scotty Barnes, you know, he's a second round grade, but I think Emmanuel Quickley is going to be an easy pick for me anytime if he's available in the fifth round. He averaged 19 points, seven dimes with Scotty Barnes there. The only knock on him right now that I see is the field goal percentage, but I think that could improve with more time in this system. And, you know, I just don't see much downside here. He's going to be starting point guard. He averaged 33 minutes a night. I don't think that's going to go down. They didn't do anything in terms of bolstering their bench to compete with his minutes. So he's their point guard of the future. And I think this is the first time we're going to actually get a chance to see him in a solid full-time role running this offense. So, like, I couldn't be more excited. He's one of my underrated point guards that if you miss out on those Trey Youngs, the Cade Cunninghams and so forth, like, he's the guy you got to get in the mid-rounds for a point guard to kind of catch up and assist, get some steals, as well as be a three-point threat.
Yeah, and I mean, if you think back again to last year in Toronto, how well he played, and that was with no time to sort of integrate himself into the offense or anything. Hooping. It was turn up, play. So he's had a full off season now. The team itself had no players. I mean, that obviously they had one or two, but none of their key players were away for the Olympics or anything like that. So they've been together, I'm assuming, together.
RJ Barrett's probably the only one.
RJ Barrett, yeah. So, but they've been together. They would have been, I think, just getting to know each other, working, like, scrimmaging. So I think it's all positive for Emmanuel Quickley and RJ Barrett, to be honest, this season. We don't need to talk about the next guys that I had, but so if we go, look, I wanted to, if we're just looking at those pre-draft ranks and then we want to scroll down to sort of the back end, so 110, 120, these names are going to change. But I sort of touched on this off air. There are some pros to doing a draft now. If you know your stuff and you know what players you're targeting, if you go and do a draft, whether it's on Fantrax or Yahoo, the ranks are adjusting, the ADPs are adjusting. At the moment, you can still get a lot of players with potentially like four or five rounds of value. And I know there's like Ja Morant who's way down. And so there's even some players that managers, sort of, I guess, casual managers aren't going to scroll down into the 300s necessarily to find a draft pick. So who are some of the, like, a couple of names in that sort of post 120 range that you think we need to be targeting as a late round flyer?
Yeah, I see some errors in here. I'm looking at Chris Middleton at 150. I'm like, I don't know if I had him that low. I'm not high on Chris Middleton. I'm not that low on him either. Jalen Green shouldn't be there either. So one name I like that Lloyd drafted last night was Trayce Jackson-Davis. Right now, I have him like around 122. I think he's a guy that's going to kind of emerge for this Warriors team as their starting center. Kevon Looney just looks like he's just got a lot of tread on his tires now. He's going to be coming off the bench. But I think that Trayce Jackson-Davis is a great offensive rebounder, great role man, shoots a high percentage from the field. They can give you those blocks that you're looking for in a late round big. So he's going to be a big man I'm definitely going to be targeting. Carlo Mackovich, no one knows his name yet. The only person I ran up, I think we talked, I don't know if we talked about this or not, but when I saw Lloyd at Summer League, the Pelicans had just played, and I was like, yo, who is this Carlo dude? And he was like, oh, he was drafted previously, but he just came over. And I'm like, yeah, his only competition is Daniel Tice, who played really well in the Olympics. But I'm like, this guy can actually stretch the floor. He's athletic. I think he adds a great dimension for this New Orleans Pelicans team. So he's like a deep sleeper that's going to be nowhere near in the ranks that you would really be looking as you're scrolling, that I think could emerge as the season gets closer. Another guy, RJ Barrett, you just mentioned, I think he'll probably be ranked outside the top 120 for most analysts. For me, he's not. I think he could be a top 100 player this year just based off of the efficiency that he had last year. Free throws aside, I don't know what is up with his free throws, but I think he'll be better than he was last year. He shot abysmal, like 60% when he shot 58% from the field, which made no sense. Who else do I got here? Keep an eye on Colin Sexton, just because, like, I don't know what the Jazz are doing yet. They haven't sold their veterans yet, so maybe they're going to debut and show them off and begin the season, potentially trade them off, and then it's to the moon for Keontae George and others. One last thing.
They do have Patty Mills, so just...
That's right. Patty, hey, if Patty could come in every 4 years for Australia, you know Patty... Pat, Olympic Patty is a different dude. Come in, show what you can do in the Olympics, and then go get paid again. It's like clockwork. Another guy I'm keeping an eye on is Vince Williams Jr. Obviously, with the way Memphis was last year, he got a ton of minutes, played in a lot of different roles. I think he could be the Swiss Army knife off the bench, potentially starting, actually. We'll see how it kind of shakes out. But I think he'll actually be fantasy viable at points in the season, just given the health risks of John Morant. And just being a very solid basketball player that can do a bit of everything. Gets triple three position eligibility, which is huge. Not a lot of people are going to be getting that this year. One of the updates that's going to be happening with Yahoo. So, I actually have a ton. I actually love a lot of the names after 100. And that's not even mentioning rookies. Like, I think Zach Edey is going to have a place in fantasy. And I don't think right now he's being ranked in the top 100. But I think he could finish there just because he's going to be like a poor man's Walker Kessler, his rookie season, where he just plays, 20 minutes, gets you, 8 rebounds, 8 points, but can get you 2 blocks a game in that limited amount of time. So, yeah, there's plenty of options out there, man. I know that this will probably change over the course of we get closer to the season, but yeah, just a couple of names to throw out there.
So, yeah, I mean, let's jump into this draft that we did yesterday. So I've got the draft results by team up on the screen there. So we can see your team here on the right. You were at pick 6. So I guess just work us through your team. And I mean, a couple of the guys we've talked about, you drafted as Jalen Duren, as we said. But just take us through your team. And I mean, you said you weren't happy with your team, but why weren't you happy?
Not really. I didn't like taking Giannis. At one, I just felt number 6. I think I regretted that immediately. Then I followed up with Chet Holmgren, which I think my thought process was, all right, well, I need a guy that's a decently shooting big who can also get me blocked, because Giannis doesn't really do that too much anymore. But I want to play into the upside of a really good team that I wouldn't have to worry about turnovers as much, because, he's not a high usage guy. So Chet just fit the build for me there. In retrospect, I think I probably, if I went another direction, like say drafting Halliburton number 1, I probably wouldn't have drafted Holmgren there. I don't like going two bigs early. That's like very contrarian, in my opinion, for the way that the NBA is played. So I wouldn't recommend that, which is why I had to double down and be like, I got to get a guard. So seeing Tyrese Maxey there waiting for me in the 3rd round was pretty nice. Liked following him up with Desmond Bane, a guy that I think could be a 25-5 guy with some steals. So, and I obviously shared my love for Jalen Duren. Mikal Bridges, I think that was probably my best pick of this draft, just given where I got him in the 6th round there. I think that's probably what's going to be his eventual landing spot. For what it's worth, I think he's going to be a good fantasy player. He's just not going to be what he was for Brooklyn. He's going to be more of like the Phoenix Suns version, which is an efficiency guy that can hopefully lock down on defense. We know how much Tibbs emphasizes that. He's going to hit the threes too, but don't expect him to be a prolific scorer. He's going to probably jump down to that 14, 15 a game. But I love getting him in the 6th round there. Jabari Smith, probably drafted him too early. I was just looking for a big man that can shoot threes. That's kind of where I went there. And I actually I think that's the first time I've ever actually drafted Jabari Smith. So trying to be a little bit different. Austin Reeves, looking for some assists that late, and he seemed to be the only guy left there that could average 5 assists confidently. And I don't really like the Lakers team as a whole. but I think that there's still room for Austin Reaves to have a pretty significant role there. D'Angelo Russell could be traded by midseason. We'll see. So I'm kind of banking on the future of Austin Reaves being a staple of that offense there. Herb Jones just needs some defensive stats. Keontae George, that's my upside pick. And Naz Reid, love him. If I can get him, he's another guy that will go, you know, north of 100, pick 100, but he can perform better than that, especially if there's an injury to any one of the big men there. Andrew Nembhard, think he's another good late round pick who is going to be a starting guard. I think we saw his evolution in the playoffs. If Tyrese Haliburton goes down, man, he's going to have a great opportunity ahead. Aaron Gordon and Grayson Allen were probably like the most boring last two picks you could make of any draft. But at this point, I was like, I took enough risks. I just needed somebody that's going to play and have strong percentages and contribute in rebounding, assists, threes. And to be honest, I think Aaron Gordon is probably one of the more disrespected fantasy assets, especially in the Denver Nuggets system where he's playing that dunker spot. Like he gets his, not a good free throw shooter, but everything else is pretty solid for Andrew or for Aaron Gordon and Grayson Allen. We'll see how Tyus Jones kind of affects that unit there. But I think Grayson Allen is who he is. He's a 3-and-D guy. Will shoot one of the highest percentages in threes. So that's just mainly like Eric Gordon's out of here. Grayson Allen started a lot of games last year. I think he could still be a pivotal asset for them in terms of generating points and spot shooting that they'll need for that Phoenix Suns team. So overall, I think my team probably would have been like seventh place. I would have had to make some major waiver wire moves or trades to kind of evolve into one of the better teams. I like other teams much better than mine.
I think most of us like other teams better than our own team, but that's what happens. I mean, look, when you're in a draft like this as well, where everyone knows exactly what they're doing and who they're targeting, and there's a lot of sniping happening, people players, I've already spoken with Karan who drafted at 12, I was at 11, and we sniped each other multiple times. So going through my team, as I said, I took Trae Young first, Sabonis second, and I like that pairing early, locking up sort of assists, rebounds. Trae Young, good for points. Sabonis, not as good for points. So I sort of then lent into, okay, I need some scoring now because points are, as we know, hard to get later in drafts. So I went with Cade Cunningham at 35. And I think that's fine. My next pick, so Paolo Banchero, I went with at 38, and he's someone I've never had on a fantasy team either. That sort of feels high, but then I just look at his numbers and the way that he's projecting and the way Orlando are projecting, and I think if you just take away some of those flaws that he's got, his counting stats could be phenomenal this year.
This is me being very optimistic, but if you just look at where his numbers are going, it's only going up. And again, he's only 21 years old. He's already an all-star. He's a rookie of the year. Like the Magic got better in the offseason. Everything to me is screaming that this guy just hasn't put it all together yet. And when he does, you don't want to be the last one to know about it. So I think getting him in the fourth round is totally justifiable this year on where his trajectory is going. And yeah, he doesn't shoot the best from free throws, but like, and he'll have some chucking like games, but he'll also have some monster games where he'll get like 30 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. Like this guy's a stat stuffer. So I think he's actually one of the more underrated picks in points leagues. I mean, he's going to be valued way higher, but I'm totally okay with where you got him in the fourth round.
And I think because sneaky sort of, as you said, assist value, I think, for someone like Banchero, because Orlando don't really have a point guard. They have Jalen Suggs is probably going to be their point guard, but they sort of it's more distribution by committee. It could be Paolo, it could be Franz, it could be Suggs. It's probably not going to be KCP as much, but all three of those guys will be handling the ball. So none of them are going to average 8 assists, but all three of them could average 5.5 kind of thing. So, I liked him there. I took Quickly with my next pick. We've spoken about him. Then I needed some rebounds. So I sorted by rebounds, and Nikola Vucevic was right at the top. Very boring But look, I think 62 feels pretty safe. It's not exciting. I worry that the Bulls will move off him at some point and maybe give Jalen Smith a bit of a run there. I don't know. Interested to hear your thoughts on Vooch this year, because I think we started to see some regression last year in after him sort of just being much like DeMar DeRozan and Chris Middleton for a while, just plugging away top 20, top 30 value. Last year that came down a little bit. Is he going to continue to regress?
I mean, I think he's another guy that I think an aging veteran that's kind of the disrespect is getting gone a little bit too far. Like, yeah, his numbers aren't what he was doing when he was 30 years old with Orlando in early years of Chicago, you know, 20 point score with 12 rebounds, but I'm just as fine getting 18 points with 11 rebounds and someone shooting 48% from the field. Like, he's not a bad player. He also played 76 games last year. So, and he played 82 the year before that. So like, I think where you're getting him, that's completely fine. Am I going to reach for him in the fifth round? Absolutely not. But if he falls to me, I'll gladly take a center that can give me a double-double with some three-pointers, shoot a good percentage, and occasionally get me a block. But that's the only downside to him, is that he's not really a defensive player at this point. But I think it's gone too far. And like, Vooch is a bad player. He is who he is. He's fine. I'll take him if he falls to me in the sixth round all day.
So I went with OG at pick 83.
That was the one where I was like, because this is the thing I'm trying to figure out is like, who's going to suffer the least with the Knicks now?
Yeah.
And I keep pointing to OG because like he's already like a 14 point guy who would just stand in the corner and shoot threes, you know, makes a lot of his money on his transition, on creating shots out of transition. I don't see where he's going to fit on a consistent basis to be a top 80 guy. Like I could be wrong, but, and he's also injury prone too. So like, he's the one I'm like, I don't think I'm going to draft him anywhere. He kind of moved on my no draft list, at least in the top 80. Like I probably wouldn't move that high for him, but curious your thoughts on it.
Yeah. Look, similar. I think I do think that he probably takes the biggest hit, at least offensively. I think he'll be, basically an afterthought when he'll just spot up and hit threes, which is fine. So I really got him here for some defensive stuff. And, yeah, look, I drafted him and then I went, he doesn't really fit what I'm looking for. He doesn't hurt me, but he doesn't help me a lot.
I think that's actually I don't remember where I got Herb Jones, but, like, I think I had a similar thought. I was like, I'm at this point in the draft. I need some stock. Let me go grab Herb Jones. I'll do the same thing with OG Anunoby. Same thing.
Yeah, like he's going to play minutes when he's healthy. He's obviously a very key part of what they're trying to do. And we saw that last year, how important he is, but that doesn't translate necessarily to fantasy value. The next guy, someone I do want to talk a little bit about, Cam Thomas. So I got him at 86. I've actually somehow landed him in almost every mock that I've done. I don't know. Like, I've never had Cam Thomas. I haven't been a Cam Thomas guy. I've just thought, he's just points, nothing else, and it's very sporadic. But to me, I think he's going to be option one and two in Brooklyn. So I don't know. Is 86, is that too high? Is that his ceiling? Or, as I said earlier, points are hard to get. Once you get past sort of pick 60, you're not really going to get many 20-point scorers, but Cam Thomas could be 25, 27 points.
Cam Thomas could be a top 10 scorer in the league next year, and I'm not just saying that. Where you got him, I think, is perfect. If you didn't do it, I was going to do it if he came back to me. And I'm still trying to figure out, I'm curious where you've been drafting him. You know, was that ninth round? Eighth round?
Ninth round. Yeah.
Ninth round. So where have you generally been getting him? Around the ninth round?
Eighth round it was. Eighth round. Okay. Look, I think around just inside the top 100.
Early ninth. Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like that's fair. And I probably, like, as we get closer to draft season, I'm probably going to get a bit aggressive about it because I see playmaking potential there that's kind of hasn't really been discussed too much. Like, he averaged 3 assists last year. The ball's going to be in his hands more. There's not really any other scorers besides Dennis Schroeder. Maybe if Cam Johnson can stay healthy. But I just think this offense is just going to funnel through him primarily, and he's just going to have an opportunity to be a not only the 1A option on scoring, but I think he's also going to get some dimes in there. So if he can shoot 44% next year, like he did this year or last year, excuse me, or higher, he's going to be solid and he's going to smash his ADP. So the assists go up, a little bit more defense. He gets up to 24, 25 points per game. You're going to have a steal there in the eighth round. I think he's going to be the Jalen Green, going in the Jalen Green area, but we'll do a little bit more and be more efficient about it. But both two tough bucket getters, but I think Cam Thomas is more consistent, at least in the short form of his career, that I think that he's going to be a good pick. I've been all on him all off season. And weirdly, I think the Olympics kind of got me into Dennis Schroeder more too, because like, I think he's also a guy that's going to go super late, that he can also get assists. He can also score. There's not a lot of options on offense in Brooklyn. So I think he could actually end up being a guy that goes undrafted that will end up being a waiver guy that you're going to pick up just because he knows how to perform. Like, he's Dennis Schroeder's been fantasy relevant before. He's done more with less. So yeah, those are the two guys I'm expecting to be leading the trashy tanking Brooklyn Nets to yep. Cooper Flagg sweepstakes.
And they've got Ben Simmons who's hitting threes. So he'll
Lord. So I'm not even factoring it. Like, I'm not even assuming that he's going to be playing basketball. If he does, then okay, maybe I'll pivot. I probably wouldn't be as interested in Schroeder because Simmons is going to be playing point guard. But either way, that doesn't change Cam Thomas being the 1A and a really nice opportunity, because they're not going to bench him even if he's tanking. Because I think right now he has an opportunity to be a franchise piece. This is his proving moment. So I'm all in on him this year.
So interesting little bunch of players here. So I took Cam Thomas, but before me, Karan took Tyler Herro and Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole was guy last year. So he was the guy.
They're all around the same guy.
They are. Would you have a preference there? Like, of those three, because Poole obviously last year got a lot of hype around exactly what we're saying about Cam Thomas now, that he's in a really good situation, he's going to get all these shots, and he basically was not a rosterable player for 3 months of the season.
Right.
I think that's helping Cam Thomas in terms of the value that you can get on him, because people remember, oh yeah, we were taking Jordan Poole top 50. So we're a bit hesitant to do that with a guy that's a somewhat unproven. Would you take Thomas over both of those guys? Or, cause I was really happy. I was hoping Cam Thomas would fall to me, and he did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's Jordan Poole, but Jordan Poole's definitely become the cautionary tale of overhyping a guard, going to a new situation or new opportunity. I will say that I think it's a little bit different with Jordan Poole, because he was being drafted in like the fifth round last year, whereas Cam Thomas has never, his value hasn't gone up that high in terms of his interest. But that being said, I would actually revisit Jordan Poole. I would be, if I had to choose between Cam Thomas and Jordan Poole, I would probably go with Thomas just because. But I'm also okay with getting Jordan Poole. I think Jordan Poole has been hated on too aggressively. Like, he showed up for the fantasy playoffs. That's what mattered for me last year. I held on the whole season through that BS, but it paid off in the end. But I do think the Washington Wizards will be a better team this year. Who knows what they're going to do in terms of moving their veterans. I think there's an opportunity for Jordan Poole to restore his value. And right now, him going in the eighth, ninth round is probably fairer value and more realistic to the market than it was last year. So if you get him in the eighth, ninth round, I think that's fine. You're getting a 20 point score. Might struggle with the field goal percentage at times and the turnovers, but he also has some upside moments and spike games where he's going to be very helpful for your fantasy team.
And no Tyus Jones means he'll probably be handling the ball.
That's right.
A little bit more. And that was part of the appeal, was that we'd seen him play as a facilitator as well in Golden State. And so, and I think having a really good veteran center in Jonas Valanciunas is going to help him as well. So, no, I do like Paul still this year. So I went with Okongwu in the ninth round. I was super happy to get him at 107. I think his floor is probably top 100, and I think that – I think Capella actually went before him. I can't remember where he went. Capella went off the board.
A little bit late too.
But, yeah, look, I love Okongwu there. Next guy I took is another guy that I'm getting everywhere, and that's potentially me reaching a little bit. But I took Dyson Daniels.
We talked about him last time, and I feel you, man. Like, he looked good in the Olympics. Like, he's shooting threes, like, with confidence. Yeah. He looks better. Like, that's what we were wanting to see from him, right? Like, he's always been a very defensive-minded stat stuffer, like, can get you the assists, can get you the rebounds, but just never really a scorer. So I'm excited to see what he can do, man. And I think he's going to be one of those late-round sleepers. Like, he'll definitely be ending up on a sleeper list or two of mine in the coming months. Yeah. But would love to see his growth and get some film with him playing with Trae Young, because he's got the size. He's like 6'7", right? Like he definitely fits the bill as a tall wing that can defend very well. So he's going to get the minutes. Can he do something offensively? So I like what I've seen thus far.
Yeah, no, I'm probably going. I don't know whether he would have fallen to me in the next round, but happy to get him there. I took Shaedon Sharpe with 131. I don't know.
We just don't know. Like, I think it's a good flyer, right? Like, there's moments where Shaedon Sharpe's like, oh, damn, this kid's going to be amazing. And then there's other ones where he's either hurt or he's just not shooting well. But I can't really project what the Portland Trailblazers are going to be now. It's a complete youth movement with DeAndre Ayton standing there in the middle. So, yeah. And then Jeremy Grant still there. Like, this is a really bizarre team. So I probably won't be drafting many Portland Trailblazers, but where you're getting Shaedon Sharpe in terms of the talent, it's worth it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look, I'm probably not going to take any Blazers players inside the top 100, but if I can get someone like a Shaedon here at 134, completely fine. 131, sorry. Khalil Ware, I went with at 134, so 12th round.
It's my guy. Love him.
I mean, he was amazing in Summer League, and Summer League is Summer League. We need to remember that, but I don't know. It gives the Heat some flexibility. They can play Bam at the four. Ware can spread the floor a little bit. Defensively, I thought he looked good. He's a good rebounder. So this is a bit of a flyer kind of thing, because, I mean, he could also come off the bench and play 15 minutes behind Bam. We just don't know. But I think the upside is there. So I was happy to get him here again as another flyer.
I agree. I think he's a player that's going to end up, even if he doesn't start initially, I think he's going to emerge later in the year, maybe midseason, kind of similar to the way Derek Lively did. So, yeah, they haven't had a center that can stretch the floor like that, but then also play in the post and get blocked. So I think it's going to be a great thing for the Miami Heat. I just can't wait to see how they deploy him out the gates. But, yeah, he's definitely on my list of rookies to target, and there isn't many of them.
No, as we saw in this draft. De'Anthony Melton, I mean, we know who he is. At 155, if he plays 25 minutes, he beats that comfortably. So we don't know what his minutes are going to look like, but he'll get you assists, he'll get you threes, he'll get you steals, decent shot blocker from the guard position. So yeah, happy to get Melton here. Not exciting, but very safe. And then I took Fultz. And Fultz was just on my he's always on my list, just because I love Fultz, but I know he's not even on a team at the moment. He'll get picked up. Will pick him up. And he was there, and then I was running out of time, and then I panicked and clicked him. But look, again, your last pick in your draft, you probably end up dropping them within a week anyway and picking up someone off waivers. So
I'm just looking at the list of just on the screen. Daniel Tice, Tari Eason, Noah Clowney's interesting.
I wanted Clowney. That's why I panicked, because I thought I'm going to get Clowney here for sure. And then Karan took him. And
Jonathan Isaac, that's interesting. I mean, I took Grayson Allen, which is not interesting. I think it fit the bill. I mean, Fultz is going to get picked up. It's just a matter of time. Matas Baselis,
Yeah, Bacelus is probably, if I look now, I go, I probably thought, I probably should have taken Bacelus, maybe Vince Williams. Drummond is interesting.
That's a great insurance policy. Like, I'm surprised Drummond actually didn't go around earlier just for Joel and Embiid insurance. Like, makes a ton of sense to draft Andre Drummond. I think he's going to, even in limited minutes, like, he'll still get a pretty good dose of rebounds. So,
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, I've kept you long enough, I'm sure you've got other things to do. So let people know where they can find you, what you've got coming up over the next few weeks.
Yeah. Find me on Twitter at Dan Titus, or X, I should say. Tap into Yahoo Fantasy. Mock drafts open Thursday, August 22nd. So that's next Thursday. You'll probably see me in there poking around, trying to mess up ADPs. But then, yeah, also, if you guys play fantasy football, obviously, Yahoo Fantasy Football is the place to be. So make sure you draft there. And then also just keep on looking at my stuff that's going to be coming out on the Yahoo Fantasy app, and tap into the Roto World basketball show. And yeah, man, I'm on the interwebs talking about hoops all day, every day. So yeah, you can find me somewhere, some way. And then maybe even an appearance on a show called Between Two Dans that may or may not be dropping next Wednesday.
Maybe
more on that later.
There's more to come on that. No, look, thanks again for jumping on, and we will be talking again pretty soon, I'm sure. Thanks everyone for listening. Thumbs up, like, subscribe. We're building slowly, as are a lot of these brands, but any love, any support you can give us is really appreciated. We'll be back very soon. Plenty of stuff to talk about, but that will do for today's show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.